Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Thank you, people. Dear Blood River Radio family, especially, I love all you people that listen to the show, but I'll tell you what, I want to say this one more time. Thank our donors so much. I think I said this last week, but you know what, people? We sent in a pretty good size check, especially for our budget. We are now paid until the first week of January 2023. We have paid for our airtime 1 year in advance. And while I was so glad we could do that. We paid it about 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ahead of time because, you know, Sam and all of them, they run really close to the vest. I can guarantee you they are not getting even wealthy. Don't even think about rich. Sam and them, they do this the same reason we do it here in Blood River. It's kind of like a religion to me. It's a calling. It's a God, you know, has called me to do many things, but that's what it is. And Sam has been doing it for like, I think 30 years. And so we were able to do that. And people, we could not have done that. There's no way on earth I could afford to pay for the airtime. So thank you, people. Thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for keeping us on the air. And I promise you too, in fact, Rand's still listening to the show. He's a brother, a League of the South brother. We want to put together a trip to Oxenford, Mississippi. That's just my way of saying Oxford, Mississippi. We want to go in there and preach the gospel of who started the University of Mississippi, why those people should be proud of their history, et cetera, et cetera. And that's just one thing we want to do, one operation we want to do on the road. We went to Pensacola, Florida. We broadcasted live on the air the sailors from the United States ship Liberty. We did that. I still can't believe we did that. We could not have done that without your money. We've been to Zinc, Arkansas. We've been to Pine Level, Alabama. We've been to Wetumpka, Alabama. We could not have done that. Well, I've had to rent cars. It costs a lot of money. But anyway, I'll get off that. I just want to honor our donors. I wanted to say that. People, like we said before we went to the break, we still have Miss Monica's here. We got Matt Goodwin coming on. We got Gene Andrews coming on. Miss Monica's staying over. I promised Matt he could say a few words, maybe ask Monica a question because he said, he's really a big, well, like everybody else, everybody admires Miss Monica. She's paid the price. She was put in the German gulag for, oh my God, she questioned the Holocaust. What do you know? But anyway, people, like I say, you're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And now before we go anywhere else, we're going to introduce Gene Andrews, and we're going to Gene the Bitter Ender. Not just a Bitter Ender, he is the friggin' Bitter Ender. And then we'll introduce Matt the Mole. So how are you doing tonight, Brother Gene?
Doing fine, Eddie, doing fine. Merry Christmas to you and to Monica and all the folks there on the show and the staff that keeps us on the air. I don't think we thank the people that actually put this on enough. I know people are tired of listening to me a lot of times, but they surely need to thank the people that actually get the broadcast going and make the calls and get everybody hooked up and going. That's not an easy thing to do, and they do an outstanding job of it. So we're very appreciative of that.
Well, I'm going to read another little note I got from a certain donor. Here it goes. It says, this is some time ago. It says, Eddie, hope this will help keep the liberals upset and maybe even have a stroke. Thank you for hanging in there and telling the truth about our so-called history. Guess who that was, people? Let me see. Gene A. Gene, the Bitter Ender Andrew, sent a donation in, fellas. So thank you so much, Gene. In case I never thank you in the air, you know how my memory is just really, really.
No, you didn't have to do that. We're just glad to irritate the liberals, and maybe they will have a stroke. You never know.
Maybe they will. And tonight, I'm getting ready to get to Matt in just a second. We were talking about the Battle of Bulge being the December the 16th. And Rich, our brother, God bless him, he reminded me of all the people. And, you know, it'd be like trying to remind Babe Ruth, he was a baseball player, But I forget my hat if I didn't think about it, you know, if someone nailed it to me. But it's also December the 16th was the Battle of Blood River, which hence of South Africa. And we told all about the history of that as much as we could. And that we named this show, we got our inspiration to name the show Blood River after the Battle of Blood River in honor of the VorTrekkers, the battle of that day. And that ties directly into Christmas because they prayed to the God Almighty, the God of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ born on Christmas Day. And so I think it's real fitting that we have a former Marine, but he's now the commanding general of the Confederate Army in the Western Theater. And it's Gene the Bitter Ender Andrews. Because you know what? He's still the commanding general. He ain't put his – he's still got his sword. And he ain't beating no plows here no time soon. And he ain't surrendering. And with that, we got Matt the Mole Goodwin coming on here too. How you doing, Mr. Mole?
I'm a little disturbed. Over the commercial break, I heard a news report that said that a serial killer was using shopping carts to transport bodies. How does that work exactly? Like,
they were dismembered.
I don't even understand. The questions that come into my mind from that, I don't even know which question to ask first. That is absolutely disgusting, and it just shows you the darkness that's in our country at this moment.
Well, he's in custody now. We booked him for Blood River Radio, so when he comes on, we'll let you ask him those questions. Why did you use that shopping cart, dude?
Wouldn't the shopping cart kind of draw attention?
They've said on the news the bodies were dismembered, and he used the shopping cart to wheel the bodies out into the woods or wherever he was dumping them. And so, yeah, he wasn't running down lower Broadway with the body.
Yeah, but a shopping cart's not an all-terrain vehicle. Like, how are you getting this thing through the woods? Like, I cannot – my mind can't wrap around this. I'm sorry.
Well, that's why we're not serial killers. We eat cereal, but we're not serial killers.
You got that
that's
right.
For sure.
Well, Eddie, things are good on my end. That's a Merry Christmas to you all. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
If you don't mind, I wanted to kick it off by talking about the attack on Christmas, the assault on Christmas that we've been experiencing.
That's the order of operations. It's you and Gene.
I tell you when I was
don't forget Monica's here too.
Yeah, no, I'm very
you said
excited.
You want to say something to Monica's.
I want to ask her about the attacks on Christmas in Canada, because I'm certain that it's not just an American thing. And first of all, I want to talk about some of my fond Christmas memories. And when I was growing up, we spent the fondest memories I have are. When all of our family would get together, the extended family would get together at my grandparents' house. There was always a big meal, and we would share presents, like cousins would share presents with cousins. That was probably the most exciting day of the year. Christmas was exciting to any kid, but Christmas Eve, when we all got together at the big family, that was the most exciting because you knew the next day was Christmas, Santa was coming, all this kind of stuff. All the Christmas cultural things, the narrative, we would celebrate. Monica mentioned the stockings over the fireplace. We'd put out the Christmas tree shortly after Thanksgiving, and us kids just could not wait to get to Christmas. And, I've run into a lot of people here recently that have jumped on the bandwagon of attacking Christmas. It seems to be a very satanic movement that's been happening and growing in our culture, because I know that Christmas is not talked about in the Bible as such. The Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate Christmas. It doesn't tell us to celebrate birthdays. We had our cultural, our ancestral holidays that we celebrated. And when we were in paganism, yes, we had pagan elements that we were not, aware of the light of Christ at that time. We had, there was the tree, there was the colors of red and green, and then as time went on, we incorporated other elements of the spirit of Christmas, like Saint Nicholas, who actually would go around and give presents to little children and take care of the orphans and stuff. So, you know, I really think that we really need to get back to our understanding that, yeah, the Bible does not tell us to celebrate Christmas, but it also doesn't, nowhere do you see where Jesus Christ came to destroy culture and to take away our holidays and celebrate our celebrations. So anyway, it's just a big movement, a big push to attack Christmas over and over and over. And when I was, there was another memory that stood out from when I was younger, and it was when I was in elementary school. I remember they gave us dreidels, and we took it home, and this was a public school system. They gave us all dreidels and talked to us about Hanukkah, the great holiday of Hanukkah. And, you know, how many public school kids are coming home and talking about how their teacher was telling them about the story of the Christmas story of Jesus Christ and his coming into the world and bringing light into the world? You don't hear that from any children in the public school system. No, when I do remember that they gave us dreidels and instructed us about Hanukkah. And I went home and I contemplated it and I was like, you know, interesting. And I had no clue back then of what they were trying to do, but the indoctrination was starting. And, you know, this attack has been growing and growing and growing. So I'll kick it back to y'all.
Okay, Matt, I'm sure you heard the music, and we'll come right back. We'll get Gene's take on that if you're through, and we'll get Gene's take on it. And then Miss Monica wants to chime in after Gene. She's more than welcome. Be right back, folks. Hang on. You're listening to Blood River Radio, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and my honored, precious guest, my brothers and sisters.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Oh, dear people, well, you're right back listening to Blood River Radio, and we're going to go right to Gene, the bitter ender Andrews. He's laid his sword down just for a few seconds. He's got a Christmas story to tell you. It's kind of infuriating in a way. Go ahead, my brother Gene.
Well, I appreciated hearing Matt again. Always glad to work with Matt and Monica. I'm like the short end of the stick with those two fine people on the show. But you're talking about Christmas stories and what Matt remembered, and I'm sure Monica's had a lot of memories of her days in Christmas time. And one thing we remembered that we had in Nashville was the nativity scene out in front of the Parthenon in Centennial Park. And Mr. Fred Harvey of Harvey's Department Store, which at that time was the biggest department store in Nashville, it covered a whole block on Church Street. And before we had Macy's or Nordstrom's or any of those big chains in here, he saw these figures, and they weren't full size. They're about 4 feet tall for the people in there, and bought these figures and brought them over here from Italy. And they had everything. They had sheep. They had the manger, the cows, the camels, the wise men, palm trees. And this thing was set up in front of the Parthenon at night, and it probably covered about three-quarters of the length of the Parthenon, which would be about, 60 or 70 yards long. And they would have lights on it at night, and the lights would change colors every 30 or 40 seconds. And they had speakers out there that would play melodies of Christmas music. And that was just a real tradition in Nashville to go over at night to see the nativity scene in front of the Parthenon. It didn't cost the city of Nashville anything. Mr. Harvey paid for it. And the only thing the city of Nashville had to do was set it up right after Thanksgiving and take it down right after the first of the year and just store it in a warehouse. But then the chosen people started whining and crying about something in you know, Christian out there on public grounds, and they demanded that it be taken down, and it was taken down. And the spineless wimps that we had for politicians in Nashville said, well, it was getting in bad repair, and we just couldn't get the money to fix it, and which was bull manure. You could have a high school art class out there with a can of spackling compound and a putty knife, and they could have fixed the places where the plaster chipped off. But they just caved in, and they wouldn't even offer a compromise. Say, well, look, if you want to put up a menorah or a Star of David, there's plenty of room in Centennial Park. You can put one out there, too, if that's what you want. But no, they didn't care about being equal. They cared about destroying Christianity, and they did. And we no longer have that tradition. This was back in the 50s, probably up through the mid-60s, maybe into the late 60s. But that was a really great tradition that we used to have in Nashville that was taken away from us. And they, you know, a lot of these people can't understand why individuals become anti-Semitic. And there's your example right there of somebody doing a pretty rotten, dirty deed to take that away from a fine tradition that we used to have in Nashville just because they could get away with it. I don't know what other reason there was for it, because they offered to have them set up whatever they wanted. So it's amazing to me, the people that talk the most about inclusion and anti-discrimination and, bringing everybody together, they're the most, anti-people in the world. And they have no respect for other people's thoughts or history or religion. The ones that do the most talking are the ones that are the most intolerant.
You got that right. And, you know, another thing that just really infuriates me, we were talking during the break about how I'm so disappointed in white men and women too, but mainly men. In these here United States, I was asking Gene and Monica and Matt, is there anything, anything that we will resist as a people? Is there anything that we will not just lay down and be bowled over by? I mean, for God's sakes, will we ever stand up? You know, these children of their father, the devil, the sons of their father, the devil, Jesus called him in St. John 8:44, King James Bible. He told them they are of their father, the devil, and of the devil's will they will do. And that's what you're seeing. They're trying to destroy every vestige of Jesus Christ, the remembrance of him, his children, the people that worship him. And Gene just mentioned that the people in the government up there and said the Jews could go ahead and have their menorah or their giant penis that they worship, whatever the hell it is they worship, they could have that. But no, Gene is right. They want to destroy everything about us. They want to destroy all things good. That's what they're here for, is to bring their death culture. Back to you, Miss Monica.
Yeah, so when you say this, you know, the spineless worms that don't stand up to this, it's through the guilt cult, through the false history we've all been taught. And everybody's afraid to object because then they'll be called racist or any number of other weaponized labels that they have for us. And through the false history, we've been made to feel guilty for everything that has happened that's, you know, bad. And so we roll over. I mean, as a whole, you know, there are many people waking up and who are standing up to this, and the quicker the better, of course. But it's during the break there, you were asking if the same attack is going on in Canada. Oh, yes. It starts in the schools. In the past, the children would put on the Christmas play. And in the past, it would be the Christmas story. There'd be, you know, the whole nativity scene, the Christmas story. And that's no longer permitted. Now it has to be all, oh, quote unquote, inclusive, whatever that means. And they can't sing the traditional Christmas carols anymore in school, because that might make some people feel oppressed or something. That's how they express it. But instead you get this mishmash of, I don't know, it's quite commercialized, some stupid canned story that they buy off of, I'm not sure where, but you know, I don't even think they use their own creativity to do these things. A couple of years ago in Jasper, the town I used to live in, they set up a beautiful tree, but instead of it being a Christmas tree, I can't remember what they called it. Maybe they called it the diversity tree or something. And oh my God. They hung all kinds of things on it that really were quite, that I felt, they were objectionable, like hanging a menorah from the Christmas tree and all kinds of other symbols that really were kind of anti-Christmas and the Christmas message and anything that has to do with Christianity. So I would say they've gone a little bit crazy with this. And like you say, they could have just, you know, set up their little display of whatever they want to worship somewhere. But no, they have to destroy ours and really, you know, the foundation of our countries is Christian. So I'll hand it back.
Yeah, they don't want it on their lawns. They want it on your lawns around your house. And it's really disgusting. That's the thing. They don't want to coexist. They want to force you to accept their system.
And that's it. There's no compromise.
Uh-uh. Back to you, Eddie.
You know, there's scripture I was trying to find. Normally I have my Bible in here, but there's a scripture, and I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, because I heard Matt read it before too. And it goes something like this. As a matter of fact, I know Matt knows it better than I do probably. It goes something like this. The apostles are preaching to, they're trying to convert people over to Christianity. And he's saying that the apostles, one of the apostles, it's probably, I don't know, probably Paul. He says, you know, but the Jews who persecuted, who killed their Savior, killed their prophets, persecuted you, they're persecuting us as this day, trying to keep us from spreading the word of Christianity, from spreading the word of the gospel to you. And he said, and it goes on to say that they are contrary to all men. I'm sure Matt will remember that. I was going to try to pull it up. I've got my Bible marked, but I don't have my Bible here tonight. I guess it's a curse why I didn't do it. But it's true. They are contrary to every single man on earth except themselves. They've worked, they're guiding, you know, they're hell bent on destroying all cultures except theirs. They can never get along, they can never cooperate. They can never, you know, assimilate. They always work. They've always have for centuries. They've worked against any culture that brings them in. They came to kill, to steal, to destroy, just like Jesus told them. They are their father, the devil. And it just makes me sick, because we white people, we haven't driven them the hell out of this country. We have to drive them the hell out of this country. That's the only way we'll ever be able to celebrate Christmas in peace. When we come back, we'll go right back to Matt. Sorry I took up too much time on that. People, we'll be right back. You listen to Blood River Radio. Hang on to your seats.
Protect protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. A medical expert that spoke to the Daily Wire believes the Biden administration will eventually change the definition of fully vaccinated against COVID-19 to include a booster shot as it continues to push vaccines on the public. Dr. Marty Makary, a surgeon and professor at Johns Hopkins University, said on Fox News that the mandates have backfired, freezing people in their positions.
Many of these folks now are never going to get vaccinated. They may never get a booster if they're older and need a booster.
White House COVID-19 response coordinator Jeff Zients predicts a winter of severe illness and death for Americans who decide not to take the vaccination.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
Roger Stone, longtime advisor to former President Donald Trump, appeared Friday before the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack, where he said he invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
Not because I have done anything wrong, but because I am fully aware of the House Democrats' long history of fabricating perjury charges on the basis of comments that are innocuous, immaterial, or irrelevant.
A study published by the British Medical Journal late Thursday suggests Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine is up to four times more likely to cause heart inflammation, myocarditis, or myopericarditis than Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccination with Moderna's vaccine was associated with a significantly increased risk in the Danish population, authors said in the study. This is USA Radio News.
Oh, dear people, dear Blood River Radio people, we're going to go right back to Matt. Matt has found that scripture that I was talking about that I butchered a minute ago. He's going to read it straight from the horse's mouth from the KJV. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it's verses 15 through 19. It says, who both killed, talking about the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus. I'll just go back to 14. We'll just start there. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. So that's the passage.
That's the nails right on the button. You know, and they've been here since the beginning of time. They're still with us. And I read a scripture earlier. I hope my people listening to the show are listening. You can't even have the Bible. The scriptures tell you You can't even have anything to do with these people. You're not even supposed to wish them Godspeed. You're forbidden to bring them in your house. You don't have any dealings with these people that confess not that Jesus is the Son of God. If you do that, you're going to suffer. You suffer. And if after hearing the scriptures, playing through the Bible, if you do this, if you hang around these stinking Jews for a filthy lucre, make any excuse you want to, but you're going to pay the price in the end. And do not say on that day of the white judgment, the white throne judgment, that you have not been warned, because you have been warned. So when you're burning in hell, don't cry out to God Almighty, because it'll be too late. Back to you, Gene.
Oh, no. Monica had an interesting point she wanted to bring up about how the government in British Columbia is celebrating Christmas and what they've done. So, Monica, let's have your story about what's happening up in Canada.
Okay, yeah, this is really, I mean, it's now completely communist Canada. So they've taken an 80-year-old doctor by the name of Mel Bruchette. In Vancouver, they went to his home, eight police officers. They took him forcefully in handcuffs, put him in the psych ward in a Vancouver hospital, kept him it's involuntary confinement in the hospital, in the psych ward. That happened on December 8th. I only learned about it yesterday. Then on December 12th, his friends managed to secure a day pass for him for 8 hours to come out. And he spoke at a rally there at length and completely lucid. He is, why they have taken him and forcefully confined him, they say something about potential dementia or whatever. It just sounds completely ludicrous, but it really is the communist way. Didn't they do that in what we considered, you know, communist countries like the Soviet Union and whatnot? They would just lock up people that they didn't like what they said, and they put them in psych wards, call them crazy. So that happened. I don't know the update now, if he's still in hospital or not. That I cannot tell you about. That's what's going on here in Canada. They are actually forcefully locking people up just because they don't like the truth. Oh yeah, why he was taken is because he speaks the truth about this injection, the poison injection with the COVID. Now he's 80 years old, so I assume he's a retired doctor. I don't know. So that's what's going on. There's something else. This Bill C-4 was passed recently in our House of Commons in Ottawa, and it bans conversion therapy. Now, this is about the LGBTQ agenda. And I asked during the break if any of you have heard of this conversion therapy. Now, at first glance, that sounds like conversion therapy. So that would be to coach somebody on how to convert, like to they're in the so-called wrong body, as somebody identifies as a woman if they're born a man or vice versa. No, it's the opposite. So this is the Orwellian language. They confuse us with their words. So conversion therapy is if you were to give counseling to somebody who is identifying as the other gender than what they were born with. So you want to, even if they come to you and they want to talk to you because they're feeling down and depressed and they don't know what to do, you are not allowed to talk to them about perhaps trying to bring them back to sanity, or, you know, even just a gentle, you know, conversation with them. That's what conversion therapy is, and they're banning it. Now, there's a big, huge list of things that you're not allowed to do. I mean, even if you were approached by them as a friend, you're not allowed to talk to them about anything. You're not allowed to listen. In other words, it's just fine for schools to encourage that, oh, if you're feeling like you're in the wrong body, you go ahead, take the drugs and get the surgery to change your body. But nobody's allowed to talk to them about perhaps maybe that's not a good road to go down, and there might be health hazards in the future. You might make yourself infertile, or you might become unhappy, or maybe, you know, tell them about statistics about suicides after people do these horrible operations and mutilate their bodies. It is absolutely insane. And so that's the other thing that's going on. I mean, I don't know how much more insane it needs to get for this to be the boot across the face that wakes people up to what's going on. So I'll pass it back to you. And I know this really took us off of our theme of Christmas, although I guess in the communist way, they're destroying everything and they're destroying our people there, and they're turning everything upside down, and everything's inside out and upside down and backwards. So that is that aspect of, you know, destroying Christmas, and this is what they're doing now in Canada. Back to you.
Go ahead, Jane.
Well, not only destroying our traditions, they're destroying people. And why did it take 8 Mounties to raid the home of an 80-year-old gentleman who was not a violent criminal and hadn't done anything that deserved that kind of treatment? And it's just a show of force that anybody that goes up against the almighty authorities is going to be treated like a murderer, a rapist, a bank robber, or anything like that, that you can't speak out against the authorities. It's just a one-party system and a communist state that basically has taken over much of North America. And that's really something that's aggravating and depressing and really scary. That, Soyetsin said that, you know, when the Cheka or the secret police came after people in the Soviet Union, all it would have taken was for all the neighbors to attack the secret police with axes and pitchforks and whatever they had, but nobody did it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were able to yank people out of their houses and homes at 2:30 in the morning, and the neighbors could hear it and knew what was going on. But if they had banded together and attacked the secret police with whatever weapons they had, sickles or pitchforks, anything, this would have stopped, because they couldn't. The police weren't going to go out and risk being impaled with all sorts of farm implements every time they made a raid on somebody's house. But nobody did.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt. I just want to add what came to my mind, and I need to find out more about this. Why did they, when they had this 8-hour day pass, why on earth would he have gone back, or somebody have brought him back to the hospital? You know, they should just not do that. Like, I don't understand. I don't know all the details of what happened, but that's how I understood it, that he had an 8-hour day pass. It's like, this is jail, and okay, you're let out for 8 hours out of this hospital psych ward, kept involuntarily. Why would anybody have brought him back? I don't know. Maybe they were afraid that, you know, 18 more police officers show up at his home. But really, the people should have just stood with him and prevented that from happening. I just had to put that out there.
Yeah. My guess with that is they're using all these health tyrannical rules to force people to do what they want. I mean, they probably told him that he's already been, you know, put into the system, and that he would have to self-quarantine afterwards and this kind of stuff. So they're using all this tyrannical stuff to force their agenda onto people. So that's the only thing that makes sense there. But this red terror comes to you sweetly, and then when you turn your back on them, it's lights out.
Well, Matt, I don't know if you hear the music, you probably do, but we got to go to the break. We got to go to our last break. This show's really flying. Be right back, folks.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week, because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to. Dear people, we've gone to the last segment of the last hour of Blood River Radio, and I believe in my old senile head, I think it was Mr. Matt was talking. We went to commercial as he was talking. Go back to you, Mr. Matt.
Well, one thing I've said before on this show, and I want to say it again, and I want people to remember this. The Soviet Union, all those camps, there was only 60 or so of them. There was very few camps in the Soviet Union. As big as a Leviathan as that country was, as massive landscape, huge amounts of terrain, spanning multiple nationalities and mongrelized types of people groups, there was only a handful of camps, and if you went to one of those camps, you just never came back, just about. The statistics were very against you forever coming back. And the reality is, I mean, there was one camp called Cannibal Island, where the older inmates on the camp there would basically eat the people that were the new ones that arrived. You know, don't forget where this red terror is taking us. All your compliance, all your obeisance to these stupid little mandates, supposed mandates, and then all the suggested mandates that they suggest that you wear your mask here. Every little time you obey them, you're marching one step closer, and the red terror is you wake up and your neighbor's been carted off, and you wake up the next day and your other neighbor's been carted off. Gene was talking about Solzhenitsyn. It's coming our way. It's a very real problem, and I'll kick it back to you, Eddie.
You know, before we get back to Monica, excuse me, y'all. I was looking at this quote, but you're right. You're absolutely right. It is our door, and you made a salient point, Matt. They start off with stupid little rules. I remember Monica said on a previous show that these stinking Luciferian Jewish communists, they love rulemaking. They start with these stupid rules that make no sense whatsoever, like wearing a mask when everybody knows it does no good. Take these stupid shots that don't do any good. Just, you know, social distance. They start with that. And then if they don't meet resistance, they keep getting tougher. They keep cranking down, cranking down, until pretty soon you're in these gulags. That's exactly right. And I'd like to throw it out to our people that are always preaching about Alexander Solzhenitsyn, but you never mention nary a time about who his formula was against tyranny was you have to kill. You have to have axes, hammers, ice picks, bottles, anything you can get your hands on. If they'd have done that, he said it. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, when the blue caps came for them, it's the night when they arrested like a quarter of the people in one of the major cities there, Leningrad, I'll say. He said they arrested a quarter of the city. The people could have raised up if they had it. they would have saved their lives. But no, he said, when they got to the camps that Matt was talking about, he said, that, and Solzhenitsyn included himself, they purely deserved everything they got because they were too much of stinking cowards. They didn't have the guts to stand up and lift one finger in a fight, and so they deserved everything they got. And the same damn thing is coming to us right here because we've got a bunch of lily-livered, stinking, peacenik cowards in this country right here. Back to you, Miss Monica.
Well, actually, Gene said he had a story for us, and I think you said that at the break, so I would like to pass that over to Gene.
Well, it's been pretty depressing with the news that's going on. I have one little humorous anecdote we might wind up with and then turn it over to Matt to give us our closing prayer. Back in my younger days, I fell in with some unscrupulous individuals, and we plagiarized one of Brenda Lee's songs. Now, I was in the 3rd Marine Division in Vietnam. We were up north, right below the demilitarized zone, and the North Vietnamese used to fire these big 120-millimeter rockets out of the demilitarized zones at the static positions in the south. So, being Marines, we decided we would take Brenda Lee's song, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. See, it's a Christmas tie-in. Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, and we made up our own verses and called it Rockets Around the DMZ. So that was our contribution to Christmas back in 1969.
Well, I'm sure you did a marvelous job there, Gene, because you got a voice second to none, son.
Yeah, well, a lot of those verses, you can't sing it on the air. The lyrics we came up with are not for family hearing. So we'll just
leave it
at that.
I was thinking you'd say that.
Yeah.
I figured you'd come up with that. And God, I tell you what, believe it or not, we did get off our Christmas show a little bit. But, I mean, how can you – you just bury your head in the sand totally. We've been celebrating Christmas. We also have to. We can't let our guard down too much because these stinking communists will. God only knows what they'll do if we do. You have anything to say about that, Matt? Whose turn is it anyway?
I would say that we need the light of the world more than ever. These are dark times, and these dark leaders are trying to tell us even that it's going to be a dark winter. You know, and if you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, there's no reason to be in darkness. We have nothing to fear of the dark because we have the light. Jesus said, "I am the light." I wanted to talk to about the right before the Christmas story in the book of Malachi. This is becoming my new favorite Christmas story book because commercial Christianity doesn't like to talk about Malachi much, because it's too against the Jews. But there's a reason the New Testament has a whole different tone to it than the Old Testament. It's because when Christ came, he became the light of the world, and he opened up the gospel that God sent to us, to all the Gentiles. And, so I wanted to tell you, it says, in chapter 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. He says it's a burden of the word of the Lord, you know, and he's carrying that burden. And then he goes on down in verse 7, I'm going to skip a little bit, but he says, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And and now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means he will regard of your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. So these people are profiting off of religion. He says you don't do these things for nothing. You know, I mean, and he goes on to say, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So he goes on to tell them that they've profaned it. But he says, oh, now you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith, I will even send a curse upon you. He's no longer blessing Israel, folks. He says very clearly in Malachi 2, he says he's laying a curse to them. And, I mean, this is the Lord of hosts, our Father in heaven. And then he says he's going to send a messenger a little bit later. And in chapter 3, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." We know that to be John the Baptist now, who was a voice crying in the wilderness. And Jesus even said, "Why did you go to see John? Did you go to see him because, you know, how he was girded and his diet and everything? No, you went to see him because of the great things you'd heard about John." And John was proclaiming that the light of the world had come. And that light's for all of us. Everybody needs that light. Just a couple passages on light, and then I'll send it back to y'all about the light of the world. John chapter 8, as Eddie referenced earlier, but there's a verse 12. He says, hold on, I flipped over it. Verse 12, "Then Jesus spake again and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall he have the light of life." And John chapter 9, verse 5, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And John chapter 12, verse 44, just skipping on through, cruising right along up to chapter verse 4, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Folks, as dark as things are, we have a light who's come to the world. And that light was given to us as a baby lying in a manger. And he came to bear the sins of the world and to bring us salvation. And if you're a Gentile out there, a non-Jew, a non-Israelite, then you have every bit of the reason to celebrate and not be in darkness. Christ came to save you. All you have to do is to believe in him, it says. And if you call out his name, he will answer, the Bible says. So I'll leave that with y'all, and y'all can chew on that a bit.
Well, that was fantastic, Matt. That did well to my heart. We're about to run out of time. Monica, would you like to say, I think Gene dropped off, would you like to say a few words before Matt's going? You're going to still go take us in prayer, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, Miss Monica. Do you have anything to say before Matt closes us out with prayer? Monica?
Okay.
Well, let's say, I tell you what, go ahead, ladies. If Miss Monica comes back, it'll be fine. Go ahead, take us to the Lord in prayer, if you will, man.
Father, thank you for sending us the light of the world. Thank you for encouraging our spirits through your Holy Spirit you've left. And you said he was going to be a comforter to us, Father. Lord, things are dark and bleak, and our enemies surround us to destroy us. But, Father, you said you're going to resurrect us up in the last day and save us. And we look forward to that and that great and terrible day of the Lord when our King comes back. Father, we look forward to it. And as John says, even so, Lord, come quickly. So, Father, there is no darkness that surrounds us. We are the light of the world now because we follow our Savior, Christ. Thank you for his death and burial and resurrection on the cross. And Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us the spirit of Christmas and to celebrate it. And guide us in our days ahead. Thank you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank God bless you, Matt. That was a wonderful, wonderful prayer. Wonderful scriptures. Your heart's really into it.
Amen.
You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to all of us. I'm into you. It's right, Sister Monica. Well, people, we'll be hearing the music any second. We've already said the prayer. I would like to thank you so much for tuning in. I thank God for the people that have been on the show with me tonight. They are indeed my brothers and sisters. There's no doubt about it. And listen, this was our Christmas show. Just remember, if you will confess that the Lord is your, if you will believe in your heart, confess with your lips, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you shall be saved. People, thank you so much. Thank you, Miss Monica. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Rand. Thank you, Jay and Cameron. Thank you for producing this show. Thank you, audience, for listening. We'll have a recorded show next week, the 25th. The 1st, I don't know what we're going to do. We will have a Patrick Ryan. Patrick Ryan, I'll pronounce this. Matt was right. He knew I'd butcher it. He'll be on January the 8th. So good night, everybody, and do please have a Merry Christmas and celebrate it for the real reason, the birth of Jesus Christ, Almighty God. Good night, everyone.